Amen. To Bishop Mays and to all of the officers and members, brothers and sisters in BMCR, please allow me a moment to pause in memory of my deceased member, Dr. C. Leonard Miller, whom I know, although he's resting, had a hand in my being here today. And to Carolyn and the staff, it's an honor for me to have been chosen to share this portion of this service with you. And I ask you to pray that the Lord would be with me through this. Do you not know that you are God's temple, writes Paul, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy, and that temple you are. Now, Paul's words can be interpreted in at least two ways. First of all, they can be interpreted to refer to the individual believer, your body. Your mind, your heart is the temple of God. Anything that destroys that temple is a sacrilege. I read an introduction to a speech recently. The speech was by a Canadian, Peter Hansen. In the introduction, he wrote of what a moving experience it was even for him, a Canadian, to visit the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. He described watching crowds of people of all ages reach up to touch the cold wall of granite rising out of the ground, containing the names of every American soldier known to have died in that conflict. Approximately 50,000 of them. Some people who came just stood and stared. Others broke down and wept. Why? They all seemed to be asking. Young boys taken from their loving families to fight in a war that basically had no meaning. 50,000 American soldiers died, and for no good reason. 50,000 brave young men slain in that terrible conflict. Then Hansen adds, 50,000. That is also the number of Americans who are killed by cigarettes every 8 weeks. That ought to make you think. Do you not know that you are God's temple? There is another way of interpreting this text that, in my opinion, is more in keeping with the context. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. A church in conflict. Some are claiming to be followers of Paul. Others are claiming to be followers of Apollos, a skilled preacher much admired in the early church. In other words, some are still linked to one former pastor and some are linked to another. Paul counsels them to grow up. Who is Paul, he asks. Who is Apollos? Paul plants, Apollos waters, but it is God who gives the growth. Then Paul compares the church to a building. He himself laid the foundation at Corinth. Now another is building on that foundation. The foundation, of course, is Christ, and that is all that matters. Then Paul adds, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him or her. In this context, we can see that God's temple is the church. We are the temple of the living God. What does that say to us, BMCR? It says three important things to me that I'd like to share in this sending forth. First of all, the church is a living body. Mm-hmm. See if I can do this. This is the church, and this is the steeple, says the little nursery rhyme. Open the door, and here are the people. Wrong. The church is the people. Stone, brick, mortar, and glass will never constitute the church of God. A building is simply where the church meets. It is not the church. The church is a living, breathing, growing, influencing body, infused, hallelujah, with the Holy Spirit. At least that is what the church is supposed to be. Let me share another little analogy. I am building a church, said a little brother, playing with a set of blocks, and we must be very quiet. His father, eager to encourage this unexpected act of reverence, asked, why are we to be quiet in church? Because, the boy replied, the people are asleep. Let me share another little story that a friend of mine told. Two people were leaving a worship service, and one of them said, did you know that the preacher went to sleep while preaching? And the other said, well, that's not the bad part. The sad part is that the people were asleep and didn't even notice it. Heaven help us if that is how we perceive the church. Or if that is the way others perceive us. The Church of Jesus Christ must be the most alive, most dynamic, most awake institution on the planet. There was a visitor to the Grand Canyon who once stood speechless before the grandeur of that marvelous sight. Finally, he recovered enough to exclaim, I wish I could have been here to see this happen. The ranger standing nearby said, you are. The ranger was saying that the Grand Canyon is still happening. That mighty gorge in the earth is still changing, still growing. So it is with the church. Wasn't it thrilling to watch thousands of protesters demonstrating for freedom in East Germany last year? Did you notice the location of their headquarters? a large Lutheran church. It was even more interesting to me that these East German Lutherans were carefully following the methods of an American Baptist preacher who bears the name of their founder, Martin Luther King Jr. Well, the same kind of phenomenon has been taking place in South Africa this year with the release of Nelson Mandela. Again, the main instigator of freedom was the church. In the dictatorships of South and Central America, the institution they want to muzzle first is the church. The church is no dead museum for displaying the relics of bygone eras. The church is alive and well and making God's voice known in human affairs. When young Saint Francis knelt before the life-size crucifix in the little tumble-down chapel at St. Damien in Assisi, he heard God's voice, "Renew my church. Renew my church." St. Francis was not sure what that summons meant. Taking it literally at first, he went to work restoring the badly decayed chapel itself, begging, buying, borrowing stones and timbers. He saw before him that there was something not right. He saw before long that something far more costly was being asked of him. It was not the church building that needed renewing, but the interior life of the people. That is our summons today, BMCR. We are Black Methodists for Church Renewal. The church is alive. We are God's temple. And I want to say this, this is my second point. Individual members of the church then are God's building blocks. We build on a foundation that others have already laid. The old pastors of McKinley's history, where I now pastor, have laid a good foundation. I'm going to call some of these names. I don't know if any of you would remember them. Reverend Payne purchased a little lot and put a little building on it in 1887 on Hawthorne Street in Dayton. McComber, Ward, Turner, Talbot, the medical doctor, Burton, a son of McKinley, and others built on that little foundation. John Wesley Chin came along and built the present facility. Gorham, Jordan, McCallum, Sherrod, Dixon, Nelson, Dorsey, and Haynes all continued to build on that same foundation. Frank Arnold came along and erected the educational facility. Streety and Aldrich built on their foundation. All I can do is continue to build on a foundation already laid by those men who came before me. This is the nature of all knowledge, and it is also the nature of the church. We are building blocks in God's temple. God uses us, if we will allow ourselves to be used, to build something beautiful and lasting. None of us are prima donnas. None of us are stars. We are all building blocks. Someone once noted that one draft horse can move 2 tons of weight. 2 draft horses in harness working together, however, can move 23 tons of weight. You know, that person put the finger on the strength of the church. When we work together, we can perform miracles, literally. Perhaps that is why Jesus said, where 2 or 3 of you ask for anything in my name, it will be granted. Not one person, not Carolyn Anderson alone, but 2 or 3 agreeing and then asking and then working together. Well, one thing is very clear to me from Paul's words. It is something I believe that we in BMCR ought to hear and heed. It is a very serious matter when seeds of dissension are sown in the church. We have a world to save. We don't have time for petty bickering. Cotton Mather, the Puritan preacher, once made a very astute observation about bees. He noticed that every swarm has its own unique scent. And when different swarms meet, the conflicting smells trigger a fight. However, Mather also noticed that when the bees are pollinating plants, they get covered with pollen nectar, which masks the smell of the individual groups. When they all smell the same, there's no competition, and their work gets done. BMCR, we are the temple of the living God. Each one of us are building blocks in that temple. Yeah. Imagine what would happen to the temple if the blocks were in conflict with each other. Yeah. One last thing. The foundation of God's temple is Christ. A writer was once asked how he put novels together. Obviously, there are many ways a novel can be constructed. It may be scribbled from a start, with episodes added on as the plot begins to unfold in the author's mind. Or it can be designed by piecing together a sequence of casual events as a loose outline. According to this author, however, wise writers will begin with the sketch of a central episode, working back to a beginning and then outworking to an ending. For Christians, the central event in human history is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are inspired by his example and empowered by his presence in our lives. Our perspective on history is unique. We focus on the world outside, but we always view it from the foot of the cross. And everything that we do, we pray that we will do it in the love and spirit of Christ. Jesus' last words to his disciples were, "Go and make disciples." Yes. In other words, finish what we have begun. Mm-hmm. And that is the command to us today as we go forth, BMCR, finish what Christ started. Yes. Finish what Paul and Apollos added. Mm-hmm. Finish what the saints in the old central jurisdiction and millions of saints through the ages, including many who are dear to us, have ended and have added, that is, to that. Like the Grand Canyon. God's temple is still happening, still growing, still changing, and we are a part of it. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? God's temple. BMCR, that's what we are.